You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. Oh, what's that? I sound different. I'm sick. I got sick and I'm dealing with it. And I had an intro done for this, but the audio got corrupted, so I'm recording it again. I'm sorry you have to hear me sound like this. Anyway, we got sponsors to plug before we get into a really great episode, a really, really good time with my pal Olivia Gobert-Hicks, who you might know from Commander at Home and Elder Dragon Hijinks, and just all in all, being an amazing presence in the Magic Command, specifically Commander space. She's got lots to do with what's going on in the format, so please check out this episode. You're already starting it. Why am I asking you to check it out anymore? Just, you're going to love it. Skip ahead if you want to, because you don't have to hear me talk like this anymore. Anyway, we got sponsors. Cardsphere.com, steadfast sponsor of the podcast. The Bullcast says thank you so much. There's a referral link in the description. Avatar's coming out soon, and a lot of people are going to have cards that they're putting online for much cheaper than I think that they're supposed to be up there, but they just want to get them off your desk. And I'll tell you what, I'll take them on my desk, but also I'm cleaning out my desk. Try to clean out my desk so I can put stuff on Cardsphere.com, trade it away as well. So make sure you get your cards here. It's Cardsphere, baby. Also, BoneBoxGames.com. You head over that way. Evan and Jesse say hi. Hey, guys, I hope you don't mind. I'm telling my audience that you say hi. So BoneBoxGames.com. Get yourself a beautiful deck box. Treat yourself to something nice. Bullcast is the discount code you enter at the end. You get yourself a little discount, a little something, token of appreciation. For use, I get nasally, and that's what I start doing with my accent. What am I doing? All right, Bobox Games, Cardsphere.com. Shout out. Thanks for sponsoring, y'all. Also, I'm sick. I'm going to Japan soon in 2 weeks. There's going to be episodes that are preloaded, ready to drop. But then in December, I'm thinking, I kind of want to take a break. I'm going to take a little break. We're going to keep it a little quiet. And then there might be a little mini hiatus over the holidays. But we'll be back in the new year. There's going to be more episodes, but for now, we got a banger. Get into it. Olivia Gobert-Hicks, you know her. You love her. Fucking, so, oh God, I swore. I don't bleep. Ken's not editing this anymore. He edited the rest of the episode, told me my intro was corrupted, so I got to record another intro while I'm sick. So, Ken, we're doing an episode where I say the F word once. I did it, and I'm not going to bleep it, so you're going to have to deal with that, maybe cut me off. He's not even here. I'm just doing it until the music hits. That's basically what I'm going to do. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering. That you're listening to right now. It's me, your boy, Mike Carosa, back again. This time, Morgan and Michael will not be joining me as we're doing an interview episode. You might have guessed from the title who our guest is. And by guess, I mean you just know because you can read. Congratulations. Our guest today is a good pal, Olivia Gobert-Hicks. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Nice to have you.
Thank you.
So happy we could do this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do you want? We get to front load the plugs and stuff. That way people will be like, hey, we'll check it out while we're on the phone and everything.
Yeah. You can fast forward through this part like it's an ad. Yeah, exactly.
If you really want to. But otherwise, it's just going to be like, check out these things. So, Olivia, what do you want people to check out for you?
Just check out Commander at Home and Elder Dragon Hijinks, both on YouTube, are the two Commander shows I do. And then, I mean, you can't really check out the Commander format panel, but I do that too. Like, read the announcements. Ta-da!
Hey! Yeah.
Got them.
Enjoy the format that you're helping make.
I hope you're having a great time with Commander.
Good job. Thank you. If you're having a good time with Commander, you're doing great. Good stuff all around. It's so good to talk to you again, buddy. Last I saw you, what was it? We were at...
It was after Beakling.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
we got to play a game at our pal's house because were stuck here for an extra day with the...
We love an Air Canada strike, and we're glad that Air Canada folded like a cheap card table.
Look, I'll say this. I support the strike. I support them getting their bag, but
we
I'm glad that they reached an agreement.
Problems for the delays, if that's why it was. It was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Get yours, guys. We get it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we need you. I'm so... I'm wrapped up right now, and like we're recording this at the time of like Avatar, The Last Airbender spoilers and stuff like that. I don't know. Have you had a chance to take a look at anything that's come across?
Yeah, I mean, I have. You know, we just shot a couple ads for it, so like for Wizards of the Coast, I have seen a couple of the things. I mean, I love Allies, so it's cool seeing some of the support cards for that, like the promo that came out, like SDCC weekend a while ago. That was super sweet. Like, oh no, Ally, like, but I read that card. I know. Like, if your ally triggers happen a second time, it's like, this is Caythor's Crusade all over again. Like, I can't be.
Yeah, it's just going to be everything all the time. Your deck is going to trigger itself so much.
It's going to do the spiral where all of a sudden, you know, like the player blue screens and you just hope for the best.
You just kind of like throw your hands up and go, okay, so I think but you have to,
we're gonna go on a journey together.
Yeah. You point at a player who might be like a little bit better at the rules than you or sequencing, and you go, okay, you come over here. I know we're not a team or anything. It's just that you show me, please. This is what you get for being more invested. Fun that the allies are supported, but I totally had that feeling of like, oh no, allies are going to be super popular.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a Tazri deck. I feel like, what was it, 2017? I played against somebody at an Emerald City Comic Con, just like at a pickup game at some tables. And this guy had a 5-color allies deck. And I was like, this is cool. And like built one. I don't remember his name. I like wish I did, because it was like such an inspiring deck that I ended up building my own allies. And it was just literally, card says ally, does thing, get deck. Confused, maybe win. And it was great. Like, it was just constantly, like, no matter what, something was happening. So I is built that for the same reason.
Is this a general Tazri, or is it like the newer
one? It's the oldest one. Yeah, it's the oldest five-color one, just because, obviously. It's just allies good stuff. But now there's going to be more allies good stuff. I don't know how much I'm going to be upgrading it, because I am more or less used to it, but there seems like there's some cool new things to like give it a shot. So
many allies.
But the set looks fine so far. I mean, it feels like it is a like solid set from everything I've seen. Right?
Totally.
Like, just, okay. Cool.
Yeah, there are some real bangers, and then there's stuff that you're like, oh man, if I open that in draft, I'm gonna have a good time. You know, or like, there's definitely a bunch of cards where I'm like, well, this isn't gonna fit anything I want to be doing, but.
Right.
It's going to make one of my friends real annoying. clear, easy, for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one. I mean, like, the next set that I'm super hyped for is Lorwyn. Like, I was never an Avatar watcher, so, like, there's no nostalgia. There's no big draw there for me.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, hey, we can't change what's happening, so we're going to be stoked. People that get something they like out of it, I'm thrilled for everybody that gets to be like, oh my god, it's the card I wanted to change my character. Like, we love that.
Yeah.
And I will just continue to keep my mind in space and then be excited when weird fairies come back.
That's what I'm pumped about the most as well. Like, I am very much like, these are game pieces. Yes, they have a avatar, sure, whatever. If there's a card I really like, you know, great. Maybe someday in a decade, Wizards will finally do the Universes Within thing and you'll get a reprint of something from somewhere and be like, oh, look at that. Isn't this exactly the vibe that I wanted the whole time? But what it comes down to is, like, I haven't been as stoked for a set as this. Lorwyn Eclipsed is going to be, I've already put down too much money for some boxes. I have a friend who has locked in some days to draft the set and then also do Commander Day, where we just, like, we're going to draft and then we're going to play Commander, split up in two pods. We're going to have a great time. Lorwyn is already killing it with every bit of art that's come out.
It's nuts.
Oh my god,
like,
unbelievable.
Evan Fong, the artist, is a friend, and like the key art that came out for is just like, what are you doing?
Oh my god.
it goes so hard. It's awesome.
It's so good.
Yeah,
I don't think she's had any cards spoiled yet from the set, right? None at the moment.
No, there's been, I thought there were a couple that got like previewed out.
I'm on Scryfall. I'm looking for them.
I thought there was like one or two that got released or like shown at a thing. I could be wrong. I don't know, man. It's just, it's a deluge. Like, I genuinely have no idea. Once. I couldn't tell you what they were if my life depended on it or if it even happened.
Right. Oh, you know what? I'm not looking at the special treatments and she might be in there. Yeah, I'm not pulling up the special treatments right now, but it wouldn't surprise me if she got one. But I know that Rebecca Gay got the, like, a bitter bloom bearer, like, serialized card.
See, that's why I think there has been at least, like, a card or two that has come out officially, but, like, again.
So difficult to keep track of them. Yeah. It's it's all happening all at once.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you been...
I think it'll be really cool to go back to there because, like, I wasn't around for First Lorwyn. Mm-hmm. But I like a lot of those cards a lot. Like, there's some real absolute weird heaters from the Lorwyn block. And so it's like, let's go. I'm ready for an adventure.
I'll tell you what, even cards that I wouldn't consider, like, heaters from the block are just cards that I, like, really just enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're, like, I'm thinking Kulrath Knight. It's three in hybrid Rakdos with wither and like flying, and creatures your opponents control with counters on them can't attack or block.
Ooh.
And that's just like, it's great. It's really good. And against the right deck, it'll just hurt somebody. But
yeah,
if you look at this art, it looks like old school Spectre art, but it's like a little elemental guy on a bat. And you're like, this captures everything that I wanted from this.
I wasn't not paying attention to you. I was just looking up a card and wanted to make sure it was actually from the Lorwyn block. But there's I remember looking at and needing this card, Fable of Wolf and Owl from Eventide.
Oh, yeah.
It's so sweet. I've put it in decks and I've never been able to play it yet. Just like, I just want the more stuff like this. This is insane. I love it. It costs six. Yeah, I'm never
six
gonna
mana. Yeah.
Let's go.
Some of my favorite cards do this.
Play big dumb things in Commander.
Thank you.
It doesn't have to be over fast. It
Thank
really
you.
Doesn't. It doesn't. Play big dumb stuff. There's no rush.
I have a deck that's an Esper, just nothing but bombs deck. It's Everchanging Dane. And the idea is that I get a bunch of stuff that likes to die, but really my curve starts at 5 mana value. I'm looking at the Kamigawa Dragons and, like, I guess 4 technically, because I have like 3 creatures that fit at 4, but ultimately everything else is just, it's just ramp from below, and then everything else is just things that want to die and are huge.
Yeah.
And I played a game actually last night with the deck for the first time in a while, and it is fun what can happen when you are playing cards that are supposed to be like hard to cast and, you know... And you're reanimating them, or like, I can hard cast a 7-drop at some point, and that's part of the fun. I can't believe I'm getting here. I can't believe nobody held up removal because they didn't think I'd be able to do it. It's just, I was running the table on that one. Shout out, I know my buddy Ashley's listening, so sorry about that game, buddy, but I had a blast.
There's something that hits different these days about like casting something with a high single digit.
Tell
like-
me about it.
Just hard casting in a main phase. Like, there's no cheats. Oh. Just like, yeah, I'm going to tap 9 and play this.
100%. It's so fun to see. You ever pull up at a table and somebody flips a commander and you're like, you're playing what? Like, Damia Sona, Sage of Stone is like one of those that I'm like, if I see somebody playing that, I'm like, nah, I'm going to protect you for the first couple turns, I think.
Yeah.
I like, if you can't handle your own, you've got an ally for like 5 turns. I think
you
I'll give you that.
At least 5 minutes of staying on the board with me around.
Straight up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like did I take it apart? Maybe I took it apart. I had I made a life gain deck that was Merkel, Lord of Bones.
Yes.
He's a 7-drop. He's in the command zone. Watch me. I don't care. Maybe I won't get him out because I didn't ramp hard enough, but you know what? It's fine. We're going to try.
I tried building him too. It's bad. It's, yeah. I tried building him, but I was like, okay, the whole strategy revolves around him being out.
Yes.
No, hold on a second. Wait a second. That's bad for me because he does not stick around. And once you get him out, it's turns probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
You don't get there easy.
Yep. No, you don't. I forced it and I had a great time. I got to do one of my favorite things ever with it. And that was the most degenerate combo. It was Isochron Scepter and Pull from Eternity.
Jesus.
So all the cards that you have that, you know, are dying and then you can exile, you bring them back as enchantments and then you bring the creature back into your yard and bring them back after that. Hell so, yeah. Yeah, it was the dumb, I'm going to gain a ton of life. And then what is it? Barrington Medic? Turning that into an enchantment and just stacking it with -1 counters and it doesn't ever die.
It doesn't die. It's like,
yeah.
It's Devoted Druid again. Devoted Druid also does the same thing.
Finally infinite figured green out mana. How to crack Devoted Druid.
Yep. Glad we solved that puzzle.
Wrap it up, guys. 2025. We finally figured it out.
That's right. This was 2025, mind you. That's when we figured it out. Not when it was printed. Don't worry about it. I also liked, because you have a Baydor deck, like I forget, the Ancestor's Voice. Is that the one?
Yes. The one that is pre-con. Not the toughness matters. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And that one has been a fun one to tinker with lately. It's just, there's so many cards that come out and it's such a fast clip that I'm like, I want to build this. Oh, I want to build this. And I throw it up on my, like, online deck builder of choice, depending on how I feel. It's Moxfield or Archideck, depending on the day, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, let's see how I'm going with this one. And I just keep brewing stuff. But right now I'm on a kick with an experience counter build that's five colors with like the Eldrazi from the five color Eldrazi precon. Sure. The one that's the backup commander that cares about experience counters.
Is it Ulalaq? No,
the other one, Azlask. So it's like,
Okay. It is Azlask. Okay. I was just looking
whenever,
at it for some reason.
Yeah. This one says whenever it or another colorless creature you control dies, you get an experience counter, and then you throw in a bunch of like spawn and scion makers, and then goes up. But
that's kind of cool, actually. Yeah.
Ah, right. I also like that like Kratos and Atreus and like the Secret Lair have experience counters. There's a couple of the Avatar cards with experience counters. I'm having fun with this. I'm enjoying
fair.
That's your reaction. You made a face and I was like, I don't know what this is. And you went, I got to trust you, buddy. I do.
I genuinely do. Yeah. There was, I think Ailey built a Kratos deck for Hijinx game that we shot that long ago. And I remember just being like, is this actually a card?
Yeah. I played with a couple pals from the hosts of Heroes Blade Vibe Check. Those guys are very fun. So Quinn and Cole, and then we had another pal of mine of ours. And I'm sorry, I think it's Combat Damage Cody, had already brewed up an Atreus and Kratos deck, and that thing was so fun, so cool. And I was just like, I think I'm making the right call with the experience counter move. But to bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. No, please.
I was just going to say, I've been super locked in on Edge of Eternities. I was going to try to make like 8 decks of that and then didn't, but I think I made 4 or 5 Edge of Eternities, like focus decks. Well, I love space.
You love it. I know, but and we're getting Star
right
Trek
there.
Too.
I will sing the praises of the set that was just rudely stomped on by something everyone ended up to not like that much.
Oh, hated it even. Sorry. Yeah, whoopsie.
Well, I mean, we had something great. It was right there. It was in outer space.
And cool.
It was a cool story. It was like, that felt like magic in space without it being cat, you know? Like, it was cohesive. It was cool.
Absolutely.
The warp mechanic f***ing rips. Sorry,
dude,
Ken.
It's awesome. I mean, I like Station. I think all Station's the Station cool. lands, the planets, those are all so sick.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I mean, what a cool space. Don't you wish that was a block? Like, that's where I'm at with a lot of magic sets. Don't you wish we had blocks again?
Because, so when the whole, like, block thing was happening. Sure. I either was not playing Magic or I was like, Commander is Magic. And that's all I ever knew because I don't do competitive. And so I like never really had that experience of, hey, this set rips and now we get it twice more. And it's this whole cohesive thing, or this set is terrible and we're stuck here for 2 more sets.
True. So, fair.
Like, the having from my knowledge and like everything I have past wise of like being engaged to that capacity, it feels like 2 is good. Like I can get a storyline and then you're not there too long, but it's also not flash in the pan. Check this out. We developed this
Absolutely.
Whole world and you're never going to talk about it again for maybe, Truly. You know, up to 16 years or something. Not talking about Lorwyn at all.
Right. So, no, why not? Yeah. What was that? Lorwyn.
So I think that like, those are the kind of things like it would be really cool to expand, especially in universe and have more than one set. But like, I get that, you know, if something doesn't hit, then it can be super miserable to be stuck with it extra long. But two feels now nice. We also have like, what, 5 years that things, or 3 years things are in standard, and then it's five for foundations or something? I don't.
Five for foundations, but I think three for everything. I'm not entirely sure.
That's a long time.
It's a really long time. That was a long time of people being like, we should ban Shouldred. And then they were like, no, we'll take care of it. And it's like, it's rotating next month. And they're like, we got the thing to take care of it. And now you have a worse thing to worry about. I also think that, like, so Lorwyn did so much. First of all, Lorwyn had, like, it technically is two blocks of Lorwyn and then two blocks of Shadowmoor, right? So you got, like, Morningtide and Eventide, Shadowmoor and Lorwyn. And so that's two blocks. But, like, I totally see them as, like, four blocks, and that's, like, the whole year. But I do think that there's something to be said for, like, you know, was Amon Khet and Hour of Devastation just those two blocks, or was there another thing? Was it, you know, that felt like that. I love that. I thought that was great because it allowed you to explore mechanics differently, or like riff on the same mechanics in another way in the next set. I thought that it ended up making things matter. Like, characters evolved, you know, we had Neheb the Worthy become Neheb the Eternal. Huge. And I feel like that's something you lose out on stuff like Edge of Eternities. We had like three cards for Alpha Rael, I think, or like two cards for them, and Tanuk and like Sammy.
Sammy had two. I think, and Halia had two.
Vondum
as well.
Had two. Halia had two.
Like, but, I mean, we're kind of like, we got the character evolution in the same thing, which I get if we're only doing one set, but also feels like, oh, well, damn.
Yeah, because it kind of feels like, okay, well, I have the better version of this card because it's the mythic version of this character. But you also don't get to see, like, how that changes. Like, Alphi Rael, I think, is an excellent example because, like, the Dimir version, the uncommon version, is, like, coming to terms with this new, like, the storyline is, like, you know, the becoming a fallen, right? And so it's just, like, coming to terms with this devotion, this, like, religion, this cult, essentially, like, and his sister and so on, and work just basically operating from that point of view of like still hope, and then ultimately the mono black version being like, he is fallen, he is just JK lols, done. Yeah, it's over, like just half your life total when it smacks you, like huge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be like, imagine you get to know this character in the story, you get to see the one card, and then another set hits, and it's like, what happens to all the people I care about?
Right.
Oh my god. This card is spoiled, and now I have to go read the story. Like,
and it's so interesting too, because there's still such like you know, swath of people that also don't care about the story, and these are game pieces, and it's just like, okay, card pretty, does rules matter, or do the rules text box matter? You know, like, how do I interact with that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think it's cool that we can have all of those things. There are people that are like, I am focused on the gameplay. Like, everything else is extemporaneous. These are game pieces. This is how I use them. This totally. Is this. And there's other people that are like, yes, these are game pieces. Also, Discord, why are you making noise on me? There are people where it's like, these are game pieces, yes, and I will play with them. But they've created this world with it, too. And it's something that not only do I get to play, but I get to kind of immerse myself in a story, become like part of it, take an active role in it, and like explore that space. That's it. The fact that we can get both, and that there's the depth in the game to support that. Damn it. I'm going to keep. Sorry, Ken.
Do it. It's fine.
Is really cool that like.
Right.
Both of those things can fit together within this space. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that there was like it could be more story driven. And a lot of times. Yes, I do. Do I understand people like, I don't care. Card work good. Hell yeah.
I only have the time to play the game and make the decks. I don't have time to get immersed in
it's sure it that's is fair. So fair, so valid. Like both are completely correct ways to interact.
Can't be
with
mad
this,
at it.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's how I'm gonna be interacting with Avatar. I don't have it. Like I've watched a couple episodes. It's not for me, it's not my thing. Final Fantasy, never played a game, got really into the set, and that is working on me, right? Yeah. It's like I went through like a bunch of videos to summarize the story of the games and, you know, watch some gameplay. And then Graham from Loading Ready Run did
Graham
that
did, like,
long
a huge,
video.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Hey, Graham, thank you so much. I don't know if he's listening.
He's such a
but
real
it's
one.
Just it's truly. And I just think that like Universe Beyond is great and it's working. But man, I have not been so excited for a set in a long time as for Lorwyn Eclipsed. And I think that that's also Very cool and fun, but it's not to take away from the good that Universe Beyond has been able to do. Yeah. I do want to come back to Fable of Wolf and Owl, because I had a friend of mine, I completely forgot that I had this, a friend of mine gifted me a foil copy that I will never play because A, Simic, B, you know, not my thing. But I do love the card, and I think it's going to go in my binder of, like, beautiful cards I own, or, like, you know, if somebody's really... Oh, I'm looking for it. I'm like, well, guess lucky day for you. But the design of the card is so emblematic of a thing that we've talked about before that I love, and I know you do too, which is the idea of the phrasing of the card where it's on separate lines, and mm-hmm. you got whenever you cast a spell that is green, or whenever a thing that does a thing and it's green, or blue, then you get both the effects if you play a green and blue spell. Such a big fan of when they did that on Ravnica. Such a big fan of when they do that, because they do it throughout all of Lorwyn, like, and Shadowmoor block. Like, they do it throughout, and I just
because all love the it. Leeches are in that too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Was, the I Deathbringer remember. Liege, Murktide.
Deathbringer Liege was one of Murk the first cards I saw. Was like,
yeah, I know.
This is a lot. Like, there's a lot of text on here. This seems good. I was
I remember
$11 for one. I was furious with myself.
I did the same thing. I did it too, but that was like back when we look, not for nothing, when we were playing Commander, it had not been reprinted until 2021. Like, wow. We've been playing Commander for a while. I got back into playing it in like 2013.
Yeah.
And so back in 2013, we're like 8 years away from a reprint or whatever. I'm sorry. It's going to be a little while, right?
Yeah.
So like this card in a format that didn't have so much support for it.
Yeah.
In black white, you get to play this like silly guy that's like looks disgusting, by the way, which is part of the appeal. Part of the appeal is how gross it looks. It gives your stuff an anthem. If you've got both colors, it's +2/+2. And then on top of it, okay, I'm going to incidentally tap your stuff when I play like this white enchantment. And also, you attack me next turn and I play a black spell. Hey, it might as well be a Doomblade. I'll kill that guy. And then also, this guy is going to kill another guy. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. So cool. Don't worry. It was so cool. And I just, that was one of the things where it was like, oh, there's so much space you can explore. Like, this is because
I know.
When I found Deathbringer, I had just finished, like, building. I say building because it was just like, color picks matched put in with Brosh. And I didn't know what food chain was, because people would always give me a hard time for playing Brosh. And they're like, are you running food chain? I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Large also, creature.
Yeah. Big guy, not combo.
Yeah. 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 No, all I know is I'm supposed to eat kobolds. Listen, I just made the colors match. I'm just putting cards on the table.
But and I'm happy about it.
Seeing Deathbringer Liege in another friend's deck and just being like, wait, what?
What is that?
This does so many things. This so is incredible. Cool. And just being like, oh, there's all kinds of avenues you can start going. I think that's one of the things that like really made how building for and around a commander like click was like, oh, there's ways to exploit. And like actually, you know, again, this was extremely early when I'm like going to trade school and I play Magic once on Thursday night every other week. And it was like, oh, okay, so this, all right, we got, there's things we can do here. We can cook.
totally. And I keep hoping that, like, there's going to be a throwback to the Liege cycle in Lorwyn Eclipse.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
However, the Evoke Elementals that they've spoiled so far suggest that that might be what they're aiming at.
Oh, so they like, have spoiled some.
They have. They've got Deceit and Emptiness, which are the Dimir and the Orzhov incarnation elementals
I am zooming to Scryfall so fast.
Yeah,
oh my god.
Yeah. They are first of all, the art on these things is phenomenal. The thing is, there are cast triggers.
Rekindle, oh my god.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm losing it.
There's
sorry.
So much.
Everybody, we have turned into Lorwyn appreciation cast.
That's been honestly every time I'm talking lately, it's been Lorwyn appreciation. We only have 16 cards spoiled.
That's
and most of them are shock lands.
Oh my gosh, they're
are you seeing it? Yeah.
Yes.
Look at that emptiness. Emptiness full art is one of the most stunning pieces of art in Magic. Jeff Miracola knocked it out of the park.
He's so good. We love Jeff. Oh my god.
Yeah. You gotta love Jeff. And then on top of it, the colors are phenomenal. Just so cool. I think that, like, I really hope that the Legions get this kind of treatment on, like, a bonus sheet or something.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that God. Be fun?
That'd be so sick.
Fingers are crossed. But, yeah, this kind of design is so cool. You get, like, an Evoke Elemental element of it, like, from a throwback to the Modern Horizon Evoke Elementals. But these ones care about what kind of mana you pay for them. It's just, phenomenal design. It's just so cool. And it tickles my brain in a way that I'm like, this is what I come to Magic for. This is what I want out of a game.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled with this set already. So, yes, I'm talking about a mythic cycle, but, like, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen a common yet.
You guys were getting nice things. Let's just take them.
I know. It's just so fun. This game has so much to offer. And, again, coming back to what I was saying that we both really love, like, I know that I have a commander that does this, but I'm not sure. Do you still have a commander that? Because mine is Lizolda the Blood Witch, my OG, my favorite, my most expensive deck that I do not take with me anywhere.
Right?
Yeah, and it's got its own, like, not even deck box, but it's like the Prof, when Prof made his deck box.
Yeah,
that's where it sits. It's in there. In a deck box, in that, with all the dice that are color themed, with a Rakdos die, its own spin down. I do not care. It is my most precious deck.
Yeah.
And she cares about what color the creature you sacrificed is. And that is one of my, it combines one of my favorite design things, which is the colors matter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rakdos sacrifice. I'm an Aristocrats guy, deep, full, and through, no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm never going to change.
I had a taste of deck, the one that does care, like,
yes.
Scion
of Orzhov.
Yeah. I had her, and then obviously the next taste that came out, so that, like, deconstructed, right. Evolved. I mean, obviously she was in that deck too, but I always like the color matter thing. I know that the discussion has been raised in, like, certain.
And do you want to talk about it?
I think color identity is one of the most important things about Commander, one of the most distinctive, unique, and, like, identifying traits of it. And anything that blurs that line is not something I think is a good idea.
I agree.
I don't have strong opinions on this at all. Nope, not one bit. I have very strong opinions about that.
Totally.
I mean, like, for me, when I learned Commander, I mean, I learned Magic in the context of Commander. So, like, hybrid mana didn't mean anything. It never meant and or. It never meant anything like that.
Exactly.
All I ever saw it was flexibility in how you pay for it.
Totally.
And to me, with the way Commander was explained in color identity, because, again, I'm coming from no Magic knowledge whatsoever, was if the pip is not on your commander, it cannot be in the deck. It's like, hey, got it. No problem. Easy to
only thing to ignore is in reminder text. There we go.
Exactly.
Like, and that's
and
basically
there
extort.
There's 10 of the extort reminder texts or whatever. So it was like it didn't even come up.
But now we're getting firebending.
Yeah, exactly. But that was always the thing. It's like, as long as all of the pips are the same, good
totally.
To go. So I can understand how there are some, you know, instances where it's like, oh, it
totally.
Can't be either. But it's both. But to me, that is, like, it makes the most sense because that's how I learned it. Like,
totally.
I have really strong opinions on it. It's not so much because I think, like, people are wrong. Like, I am a believer, like, if you want to put Kitchen Finks in your deck, do it. Just tell your friends. Hey.
Tell your friends.
I don't know why I'm running Kitchen Finks. Bam. Done. Cool. Great.
Have
awesome.
A backup plan for when someone says no. Have a swap ready. Propose it.
I'm trying to remember a time I've said no and, like, meant
completely.
It.
Completely. I know. I don't know. I can't think of,
like,
one.
Okay. Like, maybe I'm not buying in, but.
Right. But that to me is, like, where the
mom.
Discussion goes. Exactly. Right. I'm not.
Right.
That to me is where the discussion goes with the hybrid stuff is, like, look, feel free to try it out.
Yeah.
If it ends up being, like, somehow super abused, like, in your deck and in a way that is, like shady, then I'm not going to be stoked about it. But you won't catch me with those cards in my deck if it don't match. Like, I think that, like, it's a worthwhile experiment where you're like, I have always wanted this to work with this. And instead of adjusting my commander, like, my color identity just so I can include this card, well, then I get to just, like, have it in. That's convenient and fun. And try it out. I'm not going to be mad at it. You know, but I will say the color identity is the fun part of Commander.
I think it is one of the most, like, again, I'm very biased for this format.
Fair.
Everybody knows that. I think it is one of the most like innovative and interesting ways to restrict deck building with this, because there are so many things that can go anywhere. Does that bring up how colorless could potentially become a problem? Yes, absolutely. I understand that. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think sometimes, or not sometimes, like I think that being in a space where you have to make it work and you have to figure out how you can do the thing, you have to like come up with something that you wouldn't have expected, or do something that maybe is counterintuitive to make something work, or to give you an effect that isn't normally found in these, or to support the commander, build something synergistic around it. I feel like that is one of the things that is in a mass popularity thing easily lost, because a lot of people are coming into this. They go to get resources and information, and there are things that are, you know, easy best ofs. I think it's another step in the depth of the game where it's like, okay, cool, I can do the powerful thing. What other things can I do? How else I interact with this game?
Yes.
And I think that having the identity be a restriction there is one of the things that will make you think and be like, oh, well, I can't use this, but how can I still do this effect? Is there another way? Is there something I can look into? Or, you know, like, I think that creativity, that kind of like investment mentally in it, can like not only help you become a better player, but just let you do something neat and provide a unique game experience. I mean, the point and one of the coolest things is having something different happen every time.
Thank you. Yes.
And coming through.
That's
with,
why
like,
I don't like tutors. That's another different thing. Okay.
Things that objectively feel like, wow, card is solved. A plus B equals C, and draw a card all on there is like, okay, cool. You do it once and you're like,
sure,
I did it. Now what? And
I would like to feel pride for the thing I've assembled. I think that's a huge element.
Like your Taste of Deck, which I have shamelessly copied.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it so much. Oh my God. The first time watching you play that was like, I need everything that this is.
I didn't even play it before. You borrowed it while we were at the game shop. I brought decks and you were like, I'm bored of the one deck I brought. Can I borrow one? And I was like,
yeah, that's
you're
right.
Gonna love
and
this.
You had a black white Taste of Deck. I was like, well, I know what this is good doing. And that's what the hell is going on here.
It is a very fun deck and I'm really proud of it. And I came from a moment of restriction. That came from restriction.
And I am worried that removing restrictions is going to promote a homogenization and a sameness that like takes away from the, you know, intent of giving you something new every time, of being able to try stuff. Like the part of the premise of this format back when it was made was that this is a place where you don't have to use objectively best ofs. This is where you don't have to use best in slot. This is the space where you can kind of play around and be like, this card sucks. Check this out.
Hell yeah.
The premise was to be able to like pull back and relax. Like there's so much that design has done that's not in this tournament. What if we checked that out?
That's exactly it.
And like, that's cool. I think one of the neatest ways, and what you were talking about earlier, you were saying how you guys, you know, like we're going to do Lorwyn drafts and everything. One of the coolest creative ways you can like both explore a set, do a draft, and have commander things is do a boxing league or take a full box and build a deck out of that. You can have unlimited basics, whatever, but force yourself like, if it's not in this box, I can't use it.
Exactly.
What a cool exercise. You've only spent a finite amount of money, because if it's not in there, you can't use it. So you know what your investment is on it. And it forces you to try and do new things or make it
work. Time to see if this draft common is, it recontextualizes a thing for a different thing.
Yeah,
and I think that's also valid and interesting. And I also think that like hybrid, they're using hybrid a lot more now. They used it in Spider-Man. They're going to be using it a lot more. We're seeing it in Lorwyn for sure. And Mark Rosewater released an episode of his podcast talking about hybrid and its intentions, right? Obviously, he has his way of thinking of it. He designs the game. Obviously, he thinks that it's like meant to represent one or the other.
Right.
But there are so many cards that I can point to where I'm like, this is both. This is very much both. So it's kind of like, I understand what you're going for and also great, but also I'm going to have a hard time with some cards in Commander. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just... Yeah. I love, I also, to the point of like finding unique cards and putting them in and the restrictions, I'm completely agreeing with you. This is the agreement podcast where we agree with our friends.
This is the yes and podcast. Yeah,
exactly. We're just hanging. I love, first of all, I picked that Taysa because I already had another Taysa. Yeah. I had all of the Taysas before that one. And then I thought, this new one kind of sucks. That's it.
When I first read it, I was like, this feels weird.
This feels a little weak. Yep. This feels this is underpowered. And a lot of people were talking about Murders at Karlov Manor in the same way. They were saying the legends all feel a little bit pulled back, except for Voja, which wasn't even in the set. It was like a supplementary bonus legend thing.
Right.
And then on top of it, it just felt like they're limiting things with this ability triggers once each turn. And mm-hmm. so I looked at Taysa and I thought Lazav too. Lazav doesn't hide exiled cards under like a counter or anything. It's like if somebody removes your Lazav after he's exiled your bomb that he wants to become, that's gone. Sorry. Yep. But yep. Taysa similarly has an end step trigger that does nothing if you don't damage each opponent or damage an opponent, mm-hmm. and then only lets you make a spirit when you sacrifice a clue once a turn. And honestly, it rips. We found it. It's been fun.
It's been much fun.
Right?
It's so unhinged. And again,
it really
that's
is.
One of the neatest things is like looking at that card. And, you know, some people maybe saw all the cool ways you can exploit it.
Fair. Hell yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I will speak for myself. When I looked at it, I was like, not feeling it. Not feeling it.
Didn't tickle the people very much.
It doesn't feel Orzhov to me. Like, no. Completely. This does not feel like wealth riches, you know, deal making, acquisitions, all that kind of crazy stuff that Church of Deals is all about. Mm-hmm. And then you handing me that deck and going through it and be like, oh no, this
feel like it.
This is insane. Like, I never, ever would have even attempted to build her as a commander.
Right?
And then seeing somebody else's deck and somebody else's way they thought about it and things that they included. And, you know, when you have stuff that you get accustomed to playing, you just kind of get blinders on about other things.
Totally.
And so, you know, part of why it's so good to not have the sameness and really force ourselves to think outside of what we normally do and explore places we wouldn't normally go or try cards that aren't normally good is because it just opens up so much and gives you so many options of like how to think of things, a different angle to look at stuff. And, you know, for us, like, okay, well, what if I wanted to do this thing with a way it shouldn't work? What cards can support that that I've never heard of?
Thank you. And that's why you end up like with Oath of Limb Duel. Is that the one?
Uh-huh.
No, it's Limb Duel's Hex.
I think so, yeah.
It's one in a black for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep for each player, this enchantment deals one damage to that player unless they pay black or three.
Yeah.
So it's either they pay one black mana, which is easy if you have Urborg out. Congratulations, everybody. But now it's a tax effect.
Mm-hmm.
Or they pay three mana, which is like not... You're going to do that to prevent one damage? Not a good rate. Not at all. And it's a 50-cent card from Ice Age that I had only ever seen once because I looked at the art and I was like, huh? Okay. And that was that. And now it's in the deck and it's not going anywhere because it has that factor of, it's the same thing as like, I have a Rassilon the War President deck, which is one of the Doctor Who cards. He's really strange. He's a Dimir, Time Lord Noble, 3BB, 3/4. I'm reading it because nobody knows this guy. At the beginning of your upkeep,
this was another I believe you when you started mentioning it. I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with the text box and tell me this isn't cool. This is the most fun. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose 2 life and exile the top card of your library. That you may play that card for as long as it remains exiled. So great. Extra card forever. Sweet.
We love it.
Each non-creature spell you cast from exile has conspire. Conspire as a mechanic requires colors. Which means I'm not stuffing this deck with a ton of artifacts that have no colors. In fact, when a new colored artifact comes out, I'm looking at it like, huh, does this work here, actually? Is this something that I can use? But I do have a couple of colorless artifacts. The thing is, they're the likes of Muse Vessel or Ice Cauldron. You know, those pieces of shit. Sorry, Ken.
These those cards absolute staples. EDH All-Stars that everybody runs, right?
I played a game with Rasslin last night. We played three games and it was so much fun. And I had a Dream Devourer so I could foretell cards from my hand.
Sure.
So I could start doing that. But I was somebody had projected a board wipe, so I was like, I'm going to lose Dream Devourer and I don't have enough mana to cast this. Plus the board wipe's going to get rid of artifacts. I know what I'll do. I'm going to foretell Muse Vessel. And it ended up staying in exile before I got killed. And so I never got to play it, but somebody was like, I need to know what you foretold because you really spent a lot of time thinking about it. And then I flip over my 60-cent foil copy from Dissension, Muse Vessel, a 4-mana artifact that says 3 and tap, target player removes a card from their hand from the game. Target player exiles a card from their hand, activate only as a sorcery. They choose the card, and then for 1 mana, choose a card exiled with this artifact. You may play that card this turn. Great. I get to hit a land drop for 1 mana. Fine. If that player exiles it. Or I get to play something, but my mana has to be good enough. I can't cast a green thing if I don't have like a treasure or something. So it has to be, but it's in this deck because Rasslin wants to cast non-creature spells from exile. And sometimes one of those cards is in your hand and you need to pay 4 mana extra so you can actually copy it. And frankly, it's a dog card. Sorry, Ken. But how many times have I activated it and actually surprised people with how bad it is? It is sat on the board because nobody wants to get rid of it. They're like, I have a Vandal Blast. I don't want to overload it, but I'm looking around. Yeah, you have that thing. Whatever. Not even going to look at your board. And then I'm like, I have a Soul Ring right under it. You're not even going to look. Okay, fine. Hey, look. Whatever, cool. Easy. I'll take it. It's like an odd shield. It's great.
Yeah.
And but that's part of the fun of commanders. Like you end up going deep on these cards, and you're like,
absolutely.
Where? What was this for? This was a rare in Ravnica. Who is this for? And so you're like, was it the Dagmir Guild?
Exactly.
Like,
who was this for?
What is this?
Part of the joy is finding something from Visions that works with something from Theros that we're never supposed to meet on the battlefield together. And you're like, you know what?
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes. That's the most fun. Do you remember? Okay,
look,
I'm gonna.
That was the point.
Right, I remember. Okay, you also for sure remember it. We never had this many legends. It was so. It's so dumb how many legends we have right now. There used to be so few legends.
We had Commander Christmas. We got like 5 decks once a year, and we're just like, okay, we have 365 days until this happens again. Let's go.
Exactly. Exactly. And even those weren't like chock full of legends the way a set is now. They have 12 legends, and you're like, okay, hold on a second. I need to calculate the possibilities. And it was possible to predict from each set
there was
which
a point in time where you could probably name every legend that was a legal commander.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, every
and
set
guess
is
what? Also, each legend that was made back then was interesting and not just like another draft fill mechanic, which is such a bummer. Sometimes you'll see a legend, like a character you like, and you're like, ah, man, okay, wow, sure.
I will say, with as many legends are coming out, I do think there has been a silver lining, and that is the like notably underpowered or extremely tightly focused legendary uncommons. And I think that's a really neat space for them to that they've been exploring and that people can also explore, because it doesn't have the mythic A plus B equals C draw card on the
textbook.
It's like, hey, here's one little effect.
Mm-hmm.
Knock
yourself
out.
Have fun. I mean,
like Killian, the freaking Orzhov dude from Strixhaven.
Oh, from Strixhaven, yeah.
Or things that target a creature cost 2 less.
Pretty
cool. In Orzhov. Yeah, let's roll. I built that deck. I've had so much fun with it. I built it very recently. It's so sick.
You can go in so many directions. It's still oddly open-ended. Plus, it's got 2 great keyword abilities, so you're like, am I going auras on this bad boy? Is this a combat trick deck? Or is it removal.deck? You know?
Yeah.
It's sick. Honestly, it's there's even a more recent example in terms of how powerful things have gotten. Tanuk, Memorial Ensign. He is the Gruul one.
Yeah.
Landfall, whenever a land enters, you deal 1 damage to each opponent. If it's a second time, you draw a card. Great. So I'll have 4 lands enter. You're each going to take 4. I'll draw 1 card. Pretty sick. Pretty standard. Like, it's still, it's like,
powerful.
Yeah.
And interesting, because you're like, okay, I guess I'm going to do Gruul Lands, but a little bit different from the Jelly Bean.
It's got a tiny bit of a limiter on it. Like, it's not completely out of control.
Plus, it's fun to, like, pick a character and just be like, I talked about Alpha Rael already, the Dimir one. He's an ETB draw two and discard two. He's like, or thirst, like a mini thirst for whichever one it is for the artifacts. Like, you draw two cards and then you discard two cards unless you discard an artifact card.
Thirst for Knowledge?
I think that's one, right? Thirst for Knowledge. Thirst for Discovery has got to be the land one.
And I think it's Thirst for Knowledge because I think I just drafted it in a...
Yeah, Thirst for Knowledge makes the most sense. It is Thirst for Knowledge, but it's... Thirst for Knowledge is draw three, then discard two unless you discard an artifact. This one's draw two.
Yeah.
And
okay.
For those keeping track, the enchantment one from Theros Beyond Death is Thirst for Meaning. And so the mega cycle is nearly there. But even this one is like a pretty good, like, on your turn, he's got Death Touch, so it's a real jerk to block, and you're probably like, yeah, I'll attack, maybe I sacrifice him, reanimate him. And I get to, it's like a cool little reanimation card that loves artifacts, but maybe you don't even need that. Like, the ways that you get to think about these, like, designs in the scope of Commander has been very fun.
Yeah.
But I will say, I miss the days where you could kind of pinpoint which Commander was going to be the breakout star. Yeah. Of the set, and you could kind of, like, I don't want to be like, I would speculate on cards and be like, let me make some money off of this, but it was really fun to see a whole community be like, how do we break this? And then you could be like, well, this person found this card and now it's $30, but luckily I'm sending some to my friends, or like it would spike a bunch of cards really neat, like really badly, which is the part I don't miss, but it was always fun to be like, I'm on the hunt for this. I remember when Hapatra was spoiled. Hapatra was, like, so cool. And it's one of those cards that kind of felt like a community build, where I remember putting together the deck and, like, going on Scryfall and being like, okay, like, I need to find how to make this work. But then, you know, I'm in some servers or looking at EDHREC.com and I'm like, oh my God, Nest of Scarabs is in the same set, so it's got to go in. And then what the hell is Blowfly Incestation? What, another, first of all, Shadowmoor.
Oh, that part.
Disgusting. But you're looking at this and you're going, okay, everybody's coming together on this. Mm-hmm. Necroskitter spikes.
Mm-hmm.
Wickerbow Elder, which is like another Lorwyn common. Not from Lorwyn, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so it really, like, gave a lot of stuff a chance to shine in a way that we don't quite have the same thing happening right now. Because, like, Legends will always pop off because people love looking at Legends and stuff, but they don't love looking at, you know, I guess Tortured Existence kind of had that moment with a Hashatan in Aether Drift Commander.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the only one that I can think of in recent memory.
Yeah.
Olivia, we've been chatting. We are yapping for a long time.
We've yapped, my God.
Certified yap sesh over here. This is our deal. I'll tell you what, we should get to the crux of the show altogether. Do you have a pet peeve or a story for us today where you might think you might be the bolus?
I mean, okay, so the one story I have is a extremely targeted, like, I think one person was the one who actually thought I was the bolus in that moment, and it's a noted bolus fan. I was playing in a Channel Fireball, like, commander thing during the pandemic or whatever, and I built a Atraxa deck, my Atraxa Enchantress, where I would come out and be like, guys, it's not that one. It's not that Atraxa.
Which you
there's
have
not a
to
single,
do.
There's one Planeswalker in here, and it's just so I can draw more cards. So Beauty. It was me trying to figure out every Enchantress trigger I could and just stuffing them in here. And I was like, these are all the colors that have the fun stuff, so I'll do that. The Atraxa was literally there for colors. And maybe Helix Pinnacle if I was being a jackass. but I got to a point where I had so many enchantments on the board, and I had Opalescence in hand.
Oh,
and I
God.
Cast it and just made everything just, like, absolutely steamrolled. I had Lethal on the table.
Uh-huh.
And I moved to my second main and drew myself out. And I'm watching people in the chat like, what the hell? She has Lethal. What is she doing? And I was like, see you guys. I'm out.
Whoops.
Like, I've shown my dominance. I can obviously kill you all. What's the fun in that? I'm going to draw out my deck. I'm out of the game. Godspeed and good luck.
Uh-huh.
That's my one weird story. I'm watching people be like, I hate this girl, never wants to run like anything again. Listen, I get it. The one pet peeve I have outside of Brian flicking cards, but that's actually painful misophonia. Like, it's a sandpaper. Like,
I don't know how you deal with it if it affects you so much. He's the king of the flick. I know.
He won't let me sit on another. He won't let me sit anywhere else at the table. I can't. It's fine. My pet peeve, like in game though, is stealing my thing.
Okay.
I'm better about milling now. I'm not crazy about that, but I'm better because I am getting better at remembering the graveyard is a place I can play cards from too.
That's why I love it.
taking my things. Do you want to copy them? Do you want to bring a clone deck? Hell sick. Yeah. I love this card so much. Let's have two of them. Will you take my stuff? I put it there so I can play it. And now I don't get to. I'm like,
you don't like
then
that.
And I get upsetty spaghetti. But even then, I don't actually like get mad.
Of course.
I mean, it's like that flash of like, what have you done? And then I'm like, puppies. Like, it's just, none of it's real. There's no staying power with the soul. For everybody, like, for all of the, like, Olivia's so mean. Oh my God, she's so cool. Like, none of this sticks, guys. I promise. I wouldn't keep getting invited back to Step Up if I was actually that terrible.
No, truly.
It's literally like, I hate this. Do you want to get a drink afterward? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no permanence to it whatsoever.
Having played with you, the only thing that I've ever really seen you get upset about is Brian's flicking. And I think that's it. It's literally just the only thing where I was like, this is an earnest thing. We played that one game. We played that game before you guys left town.
Yeah.
And I think I was in the tank. Okay, so this was a crazy game because I copied Osiris the Writhing Storm from you.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And so I was trying to do something stupid with my Golbez deck, and I was trying to get like Bringer of the Last Gift, which was Living Death on a Creature, to bring everything that I had gotten in my graveyard out so I could maybe take the win, completely forgetting that you had Impact Tremors out and you were gonna and I was gonna draw a ton of cards and you were gonna make a ton of snakes, and I was at like 6 life, completely punted that. That's my bad. Kind of reminds me of your Atraxa story, actually, if that wasn't intentional. So it's like the same thing sometimes. Complicated game, hard to follow along. We
you
were
know,
far
there's
away,
a lot
big
of
table.
Words on a lot of cards, and then there's four different board states.
Totally.
Mistakes are going to happen. Let's just embrace them, everybody. It's okay.
And that's what we did. The game ended, and that was that. But I remember I was in the tank trying to figure it out for a long time, and I still didn't notice the Impact Tremors, which is more embarrassing. But I think Brian was like flicking his going through his cards, flicking them, and I think you were like, I need you. I really need you to fucking stop. Sorry, Ken. I really need you to stop, please.
I genuinely love you more than I could ever explain to you. This hurts me physically.
Yeah.
Don't do it anymore. Yeah. Like, it's a compulsion. It's like, and that's what makes it so difficult. I understand you don't even recognize you're doing
it. Exactly. And then Brian had gotten knocked out earlier in the turn before I tried to do the Bringer thing. And he was like, so tired after the weekend, the whole week
we
you guys
were
had
so
just
exhausted.
Had. You guys were done living
zombies.
For a moment. Zombies for real. And so I was like, how are you guys even playing? I would have been cool to just come hang for a little bit and honestly come over to tuck you guys in. It would have been fine. You guys were so dead tired. It's crazy. Brian went to the couch and immediately fell asleep.
Someone had
Brian
to drive to get
out.
Here. We're going to do it.
Exactly. But it was like literally so close to my place. It's crazy how close it was. Yeah, Brian just got knocked out and was like, I'm going to lie down for a bit, and was knocked out. Just so sleepy. It was perfect. But again, like, you know,
that's,
to that story.
That's real friendship
it's a fun
there.
Story.
It's just like, hey guys, I'm out. I need
a nap. I feel so safe with you guys. The cat's leaving me alone. But to your point, I do like theft effects for me. I'm fine with him, but I understand why you'd get upset. I don't like a secret theft, like a Gonti effect. I want to know what you took. I want to know. I need to know what you took.
If I know,
at least give me that courtesy.
If I see it, I get upset. If it's just like, put these cards, like if I wasn't able to look, it's just take them from the top of your library and put them somewhere else. It'd be like, don't know, can't be mad. But if I know, and Brian's like, it's fine. Now you know what's still in your deck. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not that smart, babe. Like, be so for yeah. real. All I can think that's about so is sweet. What could have been. And now I don't have it. Just, now I'm spiraling.
Uh-huh. Totally. And I also don't know what else is in my deck at some point. Yeah. So I'm just like, if you
listen,
took
that's
my
what
one
makes
win
it so
con.
Fun. It's an adventure yeah. every time.
Totally. And it's variants that you built into the deck. Yeah. You don't want too much of one effect. You need a lot of them, but
part of yeah. the joy is that not only can I not remember, but it's going to play out differently every time. It's like we build decks constantly and are like turning through things.
Yeah. Don't you love it?
I have 6 black and white decks. Maybe this card is in all of them. Maybe it's in one of them. We're going to find out
who
together.
Knows? Yeah. It's very fun to draw off the top of your deck. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool. Forgot.
My favorite, again, is drawing off the top of me like, I'm so smart.
Yes. Like,
good job, yeah. past me. Past good me stuff. Was so on this. Current me, uh-huh. I need 6 more cups of coffee. Past me, uh-huh. big thinkies. Yeah.
Good job. Good job. I like that you came around on Mill. And I also think my favorite response to Mill is Chris, the commander mechanic, put it this way on his episode, because people hate playing against Mill sometimes and he gets the brunt of it when they're like, I want to see the too many Garuda's deck, but I also don't want you to Mill me. And you're like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But he says one of my favorite arguments for Mill is you get to see your whole deck.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that fun? You get to see, look at how pretty it is. Look at how
Again,
much work you put
taken,
in.
It has taken me a lot of time and there may still be recordings where I am not over Mill yet, but
and
it's
that's
fine.
Fair.
I'm getting better, especially if I'm playing an Abzan, because I will run Eerie Ultimatum and I do not care that I have to hard cast for 7 all colored mana. It's fine. 100%. I get to put everything back and I feel okay.
It's worth it. Good. It is more than worth it. One of the best cards. It's again, you're talking to somebody who didn't come around to the graveyard being a second hand, who started with the graveyard being my favorite hand. It's
so funny. I used to love it and be like, this is so cool and exploitable. And now I'm like,
I want to play them.
Weren't there though.
And I get
it's
it.
Like, I'm going through cycles. We all do. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back into a graveyard loving season, you know?
And you know what? Maybe one day I'll change, but I'm going to say, I hope I don't. I love it so much. It's the best. Sacrifice a bunch of stuff. Don't worry about it. I love setting up one big turn that annoys the table, but I'm going to win. And that's what I'm going to do. Is the idea is like, I'll have, I've amassed 13 permanents in play that are all going to interact with each other. And if you target one of them, I have a Phyrexian Altar, which you can't respond to. And then I'm also going to do something with the thing that comes back because it comes back now. Okay. Yep. Love it. Going to win now. Thank you. And it's going to take all these pieces.
Yeah, I always love somebody's like Rube Goldberg machine coming out. It's just Same. Like, hey, here's my 16 card combo I got there. It's like, hell yeah you did.
It's that's my favorite. Great. I don't
that's,
counter
that's
that.
The coolest thing ever. Like, we love a deliberate double digits combo. Like, let's go.
100%. Also, when that combo involves someone else's card, whether it's on their board or stolen, I'm about it. I like running disruption, but not really counter magic. Like,
I think
it's more fun to be like, you got the thing, now we deal with it rather than hell no. You know what I mean?
I think that's my mindset too. And it took me a long time to be able to like articulate that correctly. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely further
it
in
has
the
hurt
past,
me. Sure.
Yeah. Further in the past, it was very much a like, you know, jovial game that I didn't think too much about. And now I think too much about. So
that's your job.
Yeah, I mean, basically, right? Like, I couldn't be more grateful, frankly. And
absolutely.
I will say Brian has had a very tempering effect on a lot of things, which is interesting just because he's had so like such a different mindset about it. And
totally.
Obviously it's very easy to learn a lot from him coming from the complete opposite side of head empty, play card, don't care. So
I mean,
there's definitely growth on my opinions on things and like how I try to interact with them. Like, yes, my might fame like or be over the top because I have to be a performer now. But
exactly,
you know,
there's
like,
that element too.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. You did something sick. I am definitely a big believer in everybody do a thing.
Yeah, it's so much more fun that way. It is just everybody gets their cup filled, and you get to see it too. You're part of the fun. When everybody kind of gets to have their moment, it's so fun to watch somebody emerge as the arch enemy and then we all take care of it. And then it's like, but wait a second, now it's you, you know, it's so much fun. That's what makes the games interesting. I don't mind any effects as long as we're all on board with being like, let's hey, we're all going to communicate how we feel and move forward from it. There was land destruction last night. Matt, somebody played a Myogen. I stole it. I activated it. I destroyed all lands so somebody couldn't play a board wipe. I had to. It was it was that or lose, and I still lost, you know?
Those but, are the best. You just are like, wait, I can
I
save
took a
us.
Big swing. I tried. Huge swing. Completely forgot that this guy had a bunch of treasures and could still do something. Whoops. Sorry about that. You put your treasures where you put
was,
your commander.
That was my bad, guys. That was me. Sorry.
Hey, look. It's Impact Tremors all over again. It is fascinating playing with Brian, though, because he's got his eyes on literally everything. I was so intimidated to play against him the first time because I think I knew that you and I will play, we'll shoot from the hip no matter what. But then watching Brian, you'll play a card and he'll be like, okay, so trigger. And then you go to combat and you start being like, I'm going to swing here. And you'll be like, you have to pay this because if you swing over here, you have to pay this. And then also this guy's like, okay, well, I'm not paying attention as much as I thought I was.
Well, it's funny. It's like, again, because, you know, as someone who came in very late on Magic, all things considered, seeing someone who has literally been part of it and it has been a fabric of his existence, like it is huge. Integral to who he is as a person for 30 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ability to parse everything and have the like the presence of mind to just be able to track all of this when, you know, I'm in 17 places at once. And I'm definitely one of those people that, like, it's not like a full checkout. It's like, I know I can't interact with everything right now. Like, my hand is full, man is empty. I believe you. Like, there's nothing I can do to stop you. Knock yourself down.
Yeah.
So his ability to just, like, laser focus and have the exact, like, board state that's going on everywhere. Again, he makes mistakes too. We all do. Who cares?
Fair. Yeah.
Just the ability to track.
Uh-huh.
Is so wild to see consistently, like day in, day out. I know we had to because that was part of the competition, right? Like you have to be in that mind space. You have to be able to like keep tabs on everything and just to expand it in that way is already super impressive. But yeah,
I know
playing with him is sometimes like,
it's he's got.
Should I just sit on the other side of the table? Do you want to just play two here?
He has a great ability that I think that is like underrated right now because a lot of cards get ignored for a second mode or something. A lot of cards have so much printed on them that you're like, this is why I play the card, completely forget about this other thing. And then like that'll come up on a card that doesn't belong to him, one that none of us have seen, and he'll be like, this card actually prevents that because we forgot that this is also here. And this is also like a card that he picked up and read for the first time and goes, got it, and that's it. You're like, that was quick.
His mind is a steel trap and it's insane.
It's unbelievable.
It's
someone loves her fiance. It's fun.
I know, isn't he the best? No, but I really do.
It's sweet.
So
I've seen you guys.
So
it's
cool.
Unbelievable. I know. And he sees you the same way. It's beautiful. I'm really happy for you guys. We've been talking for so long, and also I don't want to stop, but I know you've got to get somewhere. So let's call it. Tell everybody parting words from Olivia Gobert Hicks. What do you gotta say?
From me, be nice and have fun. It's okay.
Thank you.
It's a game, and we're just like the point is for us to go on a shared experience together and all enjoy it. And sometimes communicating is hard, and sometimes you know things just happen. But like we get to play a game and hang out with people, and that's cool and nice. And we should just keep it cool and nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that does it for another episode of Am I the Bullcast? Shout out to you, Olivia. You're still here while I'm doing this outro thing. It's very sweet. You can find us at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. I'm at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza on all platforms. Check out my album, Cherubic. It's my stand-up comedy album. It's just turned 5. Isn't that crazy? It feels stupid, but that's true. And then also, Morgan is at Indigo Gentleman, and you can check out GamesFreakSA.info for Michael Solani's everything. Games Freak essay. His videos are great. He's got great deck brews, and he's also got a lot of great articles over on EDH Rec. So shout out to them, and shout out to me. And once more, shout out to Olivia Gobert Hicks. Don't forget to subscribe to Commander at Home and Elder Dragon Hijinks, and make sure to check out any episode truly with the Taste of Deck. I'll tell you what, we talked about it a bunch. You'll see it on those channels, and just watch it. It's just a good... I love watching Commander at Home. I love watching Elder Dragon Hijinks. I just... It's so easy. Pop it on at lunch, and you're just like, what brews have I not seen? What's something weird? And then you got people joking around, being silly, and playing good Magic. What's not to love? So, shout out to you, the listener. We're going to scoot the day. Thank you, Ken. Love you, Ken. And sorry, Ken. Good night, everybody. We're doing more music time.